WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively up on the holidays. And, you know, I remember back in the day here at WNST, we were 23 years and some change into doing this the way we've been doing it, and a couple of years in the Baltimore Positive, but mainly as the sports radio station back in the day. And this 30th anniversary of going on the radio for the very first time on December the 13th, 1991, with Kenny Albert has brought back many memories and things. And it's interesting that it's during the holidays, friends, family, people I've shared work experiences, life experiences, Super Bowl experiences, radio station experiences, marriages, all of that. It is fun to reunite and certainly not reconcile, because these are folks that I love to see. We don't have them on the air often. I did have my next guest on the programming a number of years ago. Maybe it was my 25th anniversary. Maybe it had something to do with hockey. I'm not even sure. Maybe it had to do with WNST's 20th anniversary. Andy Mueller was my executive producer at the turn of the WNST, right around the 1997, 98, 99. We turned into a radio station, and he swooped in from upstate New York. Andy, I want you to come out and meet me for a crab cake at some point on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I feel bad that you are in the area and I didn't have you at Knicks a couple of weeks ago or up at Pappas or over at Costas or whatever, but when I get back to Nacho Mama's in Towson or wherever we are, I hope that you come and have a crab cake. Bring your wife, come on out. I promise not to bring out any of the old pictures, and I wish I had spent more time green rooming and I would have found some old pictures of you and I doing the YMCA with Bobby Nick. How the hell are you, brother? What's going on?
I'm doing great. In fact, you already gave me too many crab cakes. I mean, the first crab cake I ever had was at the barn with you after we interviewed some Ravens players on a Monday Night Live show. So
true? Really?
Definitely. By the way,
do you remember who the first Ravens player
was?
Do you remember that show or no?
The first one that I had done, I started in January. I'll tell you.
1999.
So I'll tell you the first Ravens personnel person that I spoke with. Now, it wasn't at the barn or wasn't at a live show. We'll get into that. But before we get started, 30 years on the air. Holy cow. 30 years doing anything. Amazing.
I'll drink to that. Yeah, I'm failing forward. I just keep failing over and over again. You know, it's.
I want to sing happy anniversary like the Flintstones, but I was going to play that this morning.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Exactly.
Happy anniversary.
I just didn't want to get you a copyright violation on YouTube.
One more time, Fred.
We used to play that every time you did an anniversary show, whether we brought on Tony Gwynn or you had Artie Donovan. Yeah, actually, it was the year before I got here. You had Artie Donovan at the barn. I remember cutting a promo. So how it all went down. My girlfriend moves down here to Baltimore and she's working at a hospital. And I'm like, I got to get to Baltimore. And now, of course, Mona's my wife of 18 years. So it's obviously a great move.
Skinny Adelies.
Well,
Skinny
Adelies,
right?
That's where we had our wedding reception. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I took a picture at your wedding that night of us in our joyous we were getting married. We were engaged and we had this picture hanging in our bedroom of the two of us for 15 years that we took at your party. So I woke up seeing the lake behind Skinny Adelies, and a moment in time and joy in our lives was captured at your wedding. I want to say it was April of 2003. Is that correct? Maybe
it was
May.
It was May 31st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. May 31st is her birthday. So even better, it was her birthday. Yeah. That's why she looks so beautiful.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, that was one of the best parties I've ever been to, actually. So, I mean, I say that it was my wedding reception.
Food was great, dude. It was beautiful. Your wedding was beautiful. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, well, a lot of fun up there. So I'm looking for a job down in Baltimore. I'm going to move. I'm working for a TV station up there. I'm doing some radio reports for Syracuse University basketball, football. I got to get down here. I come down to visit her. I'm driving around. I'm flipping through the radio dial, and I'm listening to this guy named Nasty Nestor, and I'm going,
is this true? Well, there was no internet. There's no way to discover me at that point, right?
No. I went way up the dial to 1570 because, you know, I am a radio guy, so I'm listening to the entire.
Had I done sporting news yet when I met you?
No.
Was I filling in at that point?
Nope. No, it hasn't even started yet. Hasn't even started. You literally just started the station.
See, I need to go drinking with you so I learn about what really happened, because like some of this is, you know what I mean? Like I'm finding a lot of old stuff that I could share and stories, but like finding when you came in and how you came in and where you found me, dude, I need beer for this. I mean, this is not beer. I wish it were now, but go ahead. Do tell me more about my own life that I forgot. Go ahead.
All right. So I end up calling the radio station to get some contact information. And I'm like, you know, this is an all sports station.
So I did, I had the station, right? Cause we were about to lose it. Okay. Right. Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, you didn't lose it yet. So it was right there, say end of 98. So I end up sending my cassette tape demo down. And one thing Steve Hennessy, your sales guy, really, really liked about it, I guess what attracted it to him was I had a toll free number. 1-888 Hey Andy.
Hey Andy. That's right. Yeah. So, love you.
And anyone looking to, you know, get an edge with if you're applying for jobs, you got to do crazy things.
Dude, no offense to Kenny Albert at all. I've had Kenny on for a while. You're the highlight of the week. No offense to any of the guests this week. You know, you just won by making me dance around like a fool, because that's funny.
But yeah, so I got a call on that, and it's like, so I ended up saying, you know.
Well, I was a guy sending newsletters out, right? So you found this wacky version of me, right? Like I was 30 years old with a radio station. There weren't a whole lot of cats like me probably at that point, right? I don't know what you told your family about me, but, you know, when we're sitting next to like Jim Brown and Evander Holyfield and Steve Ruzzioni or Mike Ruzzioni and Roger Clemens, and Martina is hiding out in our room at Madison Square Garden, and you're calling your family, you're like, I fall into the tub of butter.
Wow. When you're talking about that show, the Sports Illustrated Sports Awards, 1999 in the fall there, or actually it was the end of the year. Unbelievable. We'll never have a guest list like that. I've never seen a guest list like that in one night on any radio show.
It was the most amazing thing ever. And to have shared that with you and Scott that night and Papa Joe, and Papa Joe's left us, but man, what a ride. I mean, you weren't around long either. Like I have so many memories with you, but we went to Atlanta together. You were around when we won the Super Bowl in 01, right?
Exactly. Oh yeah. Yeah. We did the whole week of shows down there. We flew in that Sunday and stayed there the whole week. Did interviews for Radio Row, all kinds of great guests. Before we get all that,
do you know what this is? Can I show you? Do you know what this is? Can you see it a little bit? Maybe if I'm talking and I hold it up a little bit, it says Parade XXXV Champs. It almost says Champ.
Yes.
This is the original. This is the original tape. And I've shown this with Greg Landry and I, when we went out and did the Crab Cake tour a couple weeks ago. He's Towson Transfers. This is a little, it's not a full like VHS. It's mini me. And Mike Flynn lost this video cassette for 19 years. And it got returned to me during the plague. And I broke it out. And we had it transferred in this little box. He lost this box. This is me holding the camera during the Super Bowl parade in 2001, and he lost. Andy Mueller would have never lost this tape, right? Correct? Never.
In fact, I haven't lost any of the tapes. I know I gave you copies, and I gave you a lot of stuff when you were putting your Purple Rain book together of a lot of the interviews that we had done that season. I still have a lot of copies and stuff. Listen to them till this day, and I listen to them on the good old cassette deck, and also mini discs. I haven't transferred them all digitally speaking, you know, as MP3s yet, but. Got the old interviews. I do like to listen to a lot of those. But speaking,
Do you have some stuff I'm missing? Is it possible?
There's a chance. There's a chance. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would record a lot of shows. You know, essentially think of it like an air check tape. You know, stuff, especially stuff that I would appear on, because you never know. You always like to have that as an archive. For future potential endeavors and whatnot. So, but let me tell you, interview wise, this is interesting. Second day on the job. So it's the second week of January, 1999. I accept the job. I come down.
I'm just trying to figure this out. Brian Billick was about to get hired. So go ahead.
How about that? Yeah. So second day on the job, you say, hey, call the Harbor Court Hotel. Here's the number. This guy's waiting for your call. And I end up calling up a hotel down in Baltimore. No idea where it is. No idea really where anything is in Baltimore.
And by the way, I've lived this. This shot is Harbor. I've lived at the Harbor Court for 18 years. But right. Go ahead.
And I call up the hotel, and you know, just like clockwork, he's ready to go. Very, very much interested in being interviewed. It was a very easy, you know, guest to put on the air, and there you go. And you had 15, 20 minutes with him on the air talking about how he might take the job in Baltimore. So before he ever officially interviewed, you had that interview. And I know because you had stalked him a couple of days before in Minnesota after the Vikings Falcons game when they lost. You told him you're going to be his new best friend. I remember the story, but it was, you know, my second day on the job. What a huge guess when you really think about it, you know, and talk about a trial by fire throwing me right in there.
I didn't remember that it was like that bang, bang. But now that you mentioned when it was, you know, January, you know, 8th, 11th, 14th, whenever they were playing championship games back then, because they used to have Super Bowls on January 24th or whatever, right? Now they're February, now it's Valentine's Day. Andy Mueller was my producer from upstate New York at the turn of the century. We're celebrating 30 years, telling some old stories. I have lots of pictures of you and I in fun ways. The one that I found that I'm going to share And so all the era of you and I were on mini discs, and I have the Atlanta Super Bowl conversations. I have all of those. I have a lot of pictures, photomat, like, you know, actual pictures. It was that era. Probably have negatives too, but I don't know where the heck they are or what I do with them. What do you do with negatives if you find them, Andy? Do you know, or should I ask Greg Landry at Towson Transfer?
Well, they could still develop those as okay. Well, but obviously it's easy to scan the regular photos.
Well, I have regular pictures then, at least for us. So I have you doing the YMCA and crazy, and I'm not going to show those. And I found the old tape of Steve DeBerg. Do you remember what a great guest Steve DeBerg was at the Atlanta Super Bowl in 99?
I do. Yep.
So yeah. He was amazing. And we sat down, but I found this, and there's a lot of pictures of us from that. I mean, Daryl Russell sat down with us, people that are dead and stuff like that. But this is sort of the one I found. And I'm going to share this one. There's a young Andy Mueller wearing the local swag. I think this was before the incident, the Nate Newton thing we're not going to talk about here.
Thank you for not talking.
No worries. No problem. This is Tom Jackson from ESPN, who was, you know, obviously, this is a very, very young Nestor wearing. That's not my Albert Bell jersey. That's just a 1570 warm up there. The old Raven bird, flying bird. Oh, man, I love that turtleneck. I would sell my soul for that turtleneck. And hanging out on Radio Row with the instant replay unit. Andy, that instant replay unit still works to this day, and it's in the closet, and JR has it at the radio station if you want to claim it and play with it at any point to make beer sound effects or play happy anniversary or whatever you want.
I guarantee I'm still on there in 100 different ways. Commercials.
Your voice is all over that thing. Yeah, you own that thing, dude. You love that thing.
Well, we used to run the station with it before the automation system was put in. It was all the commercials, it was everything, you know, and teaching all the different hosts how to run it and stuff like that. But I mean, that thing was built like a tank. It really was. You know, it's amazing how the technology has changed. You can do everything from your house now. Speaking of that, do you remember when we did the show from your house?
Oh my God. So yeah, we built the studio. Dude, you used to make the best coffee. Like, it was like Royal Farms kind of good. You would go down, you would make, you got me into Italian roast. You were the reason that I appreciate coffee. I used to make a delicious fruit cocktail cake. You and I would have desserts and tea together every day at my house. You come over, you take your shoes off, you go up the steps. Dude, I totally forgot about all this.
This is awesome. We built a studio. So after NST went away, I guess call it a hiatus because the station did go away in the fall of 99.
You want me to tell that story? I mean, what it was is the guy that owned it, a guy named David Epler owned the radio station, and I leased it from him. When I left, when Hody's was surrounded by the Mangione, the CBM folks, and bought 1360, made it 1370. I was going to get thrown out. I found, and by the way, the biggest superstar of all time ever is JR, Jim Richardson, who found WNST, is still to this day our engineer. He's one of the wisest souls I know. And just, I love JR, and I don't say that often. I mean, he's truly the MVP of all MVPs. He found the radio station. Without him, there's none of this. I would never have had the opportunity. And that happened about 6 months before you came into my life. So 98, 99, we're talking crowded years. I found the radio station in May of 98, and I was paying rent to the Hodes Group, who later was involved in a lawsuit and pissed me off and really turned out to be not high integrity people. And I'll just leave it at that. But because it is ugly when real life takes over and people wrong you that shouldn't, people that you were good to. So, but nonetheless, I was leaving and I had to leave because they didn't want me on the radio. They wanted me on at 10 o'clock at night. I went back and rented from them later on, which you were a part of at CBM for 10 minutes. And it just was not going to be a relationship that was going to be fruitful, quite frankly, or harmonious or, you know, fair, quite frankly, to me and my family. So in 98, in May of 98, I was offered the chance to take over the radio station that was already standing there in the facility, and they weren't charging me a whole lot more rent. You know, we had enough money. It was almost the same amount of money that I was paying to be on the radio for 4 hours then at WWLG. And it was a fair number, and we grandfathered in that I would pay him more money. It was like, it was the kind of deal where, I don't know, I'm making it up. I was paying $5,000 a month or whatever, right? And then it went to 55 and 6 and 7 and 8 because I was ramping up my business. And the guy saw I was making a lot of money and he had a chance to really sell it and get, and he got like a $250,000 down payment, threw me out, literally sold to Catholic Family Radio Network. It was a group out of Florida. They came in for 10 minutes and ran cassette tapes and, you know, they had no spot. They had no money. They never closed on it. They put a down payment on the station that got me thrown out and then defaulted. And the guy at that point had an empty radio station again and a whole bunch of money, wheelbarrow full of money. And he came back to me and said, hey, you want to really buy it? And all of that happened in 99. Like, literally, God bless you for sticking with me. You were a loyal, fun, awesome, incredible part of my life, you and your wife. But that was a weird time, right?
It was. Well, we didn't know the station was going to come back. And so we went and did a night show on CBN, 10 to 1. And a funny story, I remember, like you said, I'd take my shoes off, come upstairs to the bedroom where we had taken two bedrooms, went in the walk-in closet, cut a big opening and put a piece of glass there. So it made it like a radio studio in between two bedrooms. And then we had a night where we were bringing, or a couple of nights where we had brought some local college basketball coaches over to talk about their seasons. So you got Tom Mitchell, UMBC, Dino Gaudio, Loyola, Mike Jaskolski, Towson coming over. And I remember
at 10 o'clock at night, live radio.
They show up to your house, ring the doorbell. I run downstairs to get them. And they're walking. They're okay. We'll come up and well, it's upstairs. They're like, we got to go up to the yeah. It's up in the bedroom. That's where the studio is. Okay.
I had the purple nasty radio light in there.
It's like you got to take your shoes off,
dude. It was groovy.
Like, I got to take my shoes off.
I'm like, no, and it sounds. Off. Listen, dude, it sounds batshit 20 years ago. Now that we all do Zoom, Dino Gaudio would sell his soul to drive back over to Springhouse Circle and take his shoes off and come upstairs and be served some premium coffee from Royal Farms served by Andy Mueller. That's dude, right. You and I should put the band back together. This stuff sounds fun. I want to do that again. That's what I want to do. I want to hang out with you and have coffee all day and talk about sports. Can we do that?
We could do that, sure.
Did we know how lucky we were to be able to do that, dude? That I've made a living doing this for 30 years? It's insane.
Yeah, and then you did a national show literally out of those two bedrooms as well, because that started during that time period as well. That's when you started there, and we were on that Annapolis station for, I don't know, a couple of months before NST that did come back and is obviously still around and doing great. So it was a lot in about a year and a half or so. Four radio stations, right? Or if you count NST twice, the national show that started. A lot got accomplished. Multiple Super Bowls, Final Four we went to. You know, a bunch
won of the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl,
won right? The Super Bowl. You can't forget that, you know, unbelievable, unbelievable time.
So, it really is incredible. Like it takes me a minute to go back there, but I see the pictures pop up of you from time to time in various places. And, I have a great shot of you with Stacy Keebler and Bobby Nick and Mark Messina at the Super Bowl in 2001. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I do remember seeing that. Yeah. And that's, you know, we helped her get a hotel room, right? Because she was no longer a Ravens cheerleader.
She was Miss Hancock at that time.
She was Miss Hancock at WCW. Yeah.
So everywhere I went was Stacy, who was my intern. And I hung out with her for 3 days. She hung out. She was like, she sold Get Nasty t-shirts. I have pictures of her selling and wearing a Get Nasty t-shirt on Super Bowl Sunday in 2001. This is before George Clooney. You can't make this up, dude. But you know, the weird part is she came back and did the show. She did the show with me in Indianapolis, I think. I'm thinking about the Super Bowl. I think she came by in New York maybe too, you know, the Super Bowl, but it was the Indianapolis Super Bowl. She definitely was there in New York now that I remember the picture she took with my wife. So maybe it was there, but like she walks in and she's like an actress and Dancing with the Stars and Miss Hancock's long gone. Nobody thinks of her like that, right?
Right.
She's
right.
Like tabloid fodder dating the most famous actor in the world, right? And in French and in Italian chateaus and stuff like that, right? And in Nice. And she rolls in, comes in, plops down, puts her headset on, puts her shoes. Like, I love Stacy. We share the same birthday with John Wooden. But so I have a picture of you with Stacy. People would never believe she was an intern, right? Like, oh, dude, I have pictures of you with her at the bar before the game down in with Keith Mills and Dan Rodericks and Bobby Nick.
You mean in Tampa?
The bar? No, in Baltimore. In Baltimore at Camden Pub. Camden Pub.
Yes.
Yes, oh, yeah, Camden Pub. Stacy was like your intern, right? Like literally, yeah, like. Yeah. She ran and got food and stuff, literally, right?
Yeah, the only thing, the only issue that she, and once again, it's not her fault, but when callers would call in, I'm like, Stacy, screen the calls. The thing is, the callers just wanted to talk to her. And I'm like, you have to screen the calls and just, you know, put them on hold, you know, just make it quick. What do you want to talk about? Put them on hold. And they're like, there's a girl on the line. You know, it's not a normal thing back then, you know, for someone. And then they're like, wow, this is the intern. We'll talk to her for a while. And instead of that Andy guy who just wants to know what you want to talk about and put you on hold right away. So she was a lot nicer to the callers on the air, but you know, I had to go like, hey, keep it going here. And you know, without these callers, by the way, if you want to talk about that quick, the callers,
WNSC had Stacy Keibler as an intern. Isn't that the greatest? Yeah. Like, I don't even think about it like that. But when you think about 30 years of stuff. You know what happened a couple of weeks ago? And I told this story, and I'll let you go back to Stacy, but you know, I've given job opportunities to people, right? And it's not hard to find them, and it's not hard to find who appreciated the job opportunities, been kind to me, and who I don't have any association with because, quite frankly, I don't have any respect for them. But I was driving around West Philly a couple of weeks ago. It screwed my back up. Long story, traffic. I've had back needles, the whole story. But I'm driving around, and Andy, I swear I don't listen to sports radio ever. Like, I've listened to The Fan for 8 minutes this year, and I did it all in the same, like, Thanksgiving period. I was flipping around the dial just hearing what was going on at 105.7 at BAL. I listened to BAL for 5 minutes, and they were talking about the Ravens one morning. I didn't even know who the hosts were, right? Because it's not Ron Smith, you know, or Dave Durian, right, for me. And I don't listen. You know, if you make pizza for a living, I don't know that the guys at Pizza John's really eat Squire's pizza. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I was in Philadelphia driving around, and I swear to God, I was looking for classic rock. I was just searching, and I'm like, 93.3 WMMR, Rock and Roll Animals. I put that, you know, and 94.1 was always YSP, classic rock, you know, and it 94.1 in it, and people were talking. And I even listened to the commercials because, you know, I hate Steven Singer too. And a voice comes on, and, you know, they're playing some music, some Stones or whatever, and they come back in. It's all FM radio, you know, they're rocking something out. And I hear the voice. Welcome back, WYSP Sports, whatever we call ourselves this week, Odyssey 94.1, Clear Channel, Hard, whatever they are. This is Joe Giglio. And I'm like, dude, I put him on as the first guy to put him on the radio. I remember his indie. I remember the resume because it said Giglio, and I'm like, who's this Joe Giglio? He's Italiano. So he's like a star. He's been on FAN. And I'm like, I just randomly was like stuck on the Schuylkill. I love saying that because I really was stuck on a Schuylkill and Conshohocken right around the corner from Kobe Bryant, and I'm hearing a guy getting paid to do something that like only you and my son and Steve Hennessy and Ray Bachman and I don't know, a handful of people could really appreciate what the hell we've done here. You helped me do, and Steve and everybody else that was a part of this thing 30 years ago. It's really gratifying, even if I am the jerk of the month in some circles. You know what I mean? I tried hard to be a good guy.
It is once again, very, very amazing. Like I said before, 30 years of doing anything, but to be on the radio as long as you have, a career you said that was not your focus, you know, growing up or that you wanted to do with your life, but you've clearly done it well with your life. And I'm glad you're still on. I'm glad you're still doing well.
Hey, you had Stacey Keebler. You had a story. Come on now. Internships, crazy stuff. Phones not working. Trees falling on the house. Deer, albino deer. Did you ever see the albino deer?
Never saw that. No. Okay. In fact, I don't remember seeing many deer there actually, but you know, I was always back doing commercials in the production room and not looking out the window, I guess, as much. But there wasn't a window in the producer suite like there was in the host area right there that I remember, at least. No, that definitely wasn't at the station. In the very back room, maybe there was, where I had my equipment.
You used to like work in a closet, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
you had a closet you worked in.
It was the best sound.
I always wondered. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Why do you work in the closet? Well, I get the best bass sound that way. You know.
Yeah, you can get really close to the microphone,
dude. And weirdest thing is, I bring you on my show after all these years. The second time you've been on my show in 20 years, and your microphone sucked. And I just gave you a hard time, and you fixed it. But like, you're the guy that knows when it sucks. And I'll tell you, and I'll give you this love. And by the way, Bachman's like too good to come on, right? So like,
no kidding.
But no, oh, wow. Bachman and I are tight, right? So
yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about Bachman. I don't know where you were during the plague, and I know personally your life changed a lot in work situation and whatever. The plague began like this for me. We're stuck in the house, can't go out of the house, and my wife started watching the Ray Bachman trivia show on Facebook, and she got addicted to it. Like, she literally sat and tipped Ray and answered questions and played his stupid games and laughed. She cackled like a schoolgirl because she thinks Ray's funny. So I haven't had Ray on the radio, or as he'd say, radio. I don't know how he say it in South Baltimore. So I invited him over to Costas last week, and we were trying to organize and trying to work it out, and his busy dance cards. I'm busting him. I offer him crab cakes. He's too lazy to drive up fast in across the bridge. So at some point, I told him he owes me an $18 beer at Merriweather, which is the last time I left him. I see you guys like out, and I never see you at ball games because I don't think you go to many and I don't go to many. I saw him at Merriweather at M3.
Same here. That's the last time I saw him. The last time I saw Ray was also at M3.
This year?
Not this year, no. It would have been about 2 years ago.
Are you going to Tesla? Like, did you see the new schedule for next year?
I did. And Zebra's on that bill.
Are you going to Tesla that? Because you are. We'll have a big reunion Sunday, that sure. night. Oh, all right, sure. I'm going to do something special that night for my friends who love hair metal like me and love me some Tesla, you know? Because, you know, Andy, it's not what you got. It's what you give. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Right?
Exactly.
Andy Mueller was my turn of the century producer. Still doing it well. 30 years into this. He's got stories to tell, and you know where the bones are buried and what closet they're buried in, right? And what mini disc they're on.
I think I do. And I probably did still leave something over on Hart Road that I haven't picked up yet. I'm not really sure, but there's gotta be something of mine over there even 20 years later.
Your handwriting is on a lot.
Right. Right.
Well, your handwriting, Steve's handwriting, Ray, I know the difference between all of them. And I want to give Ray some love here, and in addition to give you some 30th anniversary love, since this is a roast. Or if it's not a roast, it's at least a bake. You know what I mean? It's not a full-on. We don't have to go all day with it. Maybe it's just a boil. I don't know. or a steaming, and to honor our crabs. And I do owe you a crab cake, and I'm definitely going to have you out and have some fun with you. Your production skill to sit in the closet and make stuff sound good. All these years later, I have not 30 years, because when Jen got sick and I changed my life, which was Jen got cancer on March 26th of 2014. And so everything in my life changed then. So we're going on 8 years. But the first 22 years of my career, going back to me and Kenny Albert doing radio on a cassette, me and Mike Messina in 1991, 92, early. The first shows I did with a guy named Eric Turner that I think you knew. I have shows with him. Everything you ever did from the cassette era going into mini disc era, I have all of it. I mean, literally, there's some things missing. Like, I can't find the John Wooden interview that I did with him on national radio. I wish I mean, maybe it'll turn up. God bless Steve Hennessy. If anybody sees Steve Hennessy, let him know that I found the Holy Grail missing tape that was completely because of him, that I found a portion of it, which was the night Ray Lewis came to the barn after the first Raiders game. So you 3 years before you came in my life, right?
Right.
You've seen the pictures and all that. I had lost that tape. Andy, that tape was on a Kmart, blue Kmart 90-minute tape that was 20 years old.
I had plenty of those.
Yeah. Right? Literally, it was on a Kmart tape. And Hennessy wrote on it, Ray Lewis interview. It sat in my house, the one you're talking about in Springer. I knew where it was, and then it just evaporated. It was gone. Uh-huh. Like, my Geddy Lee interview is gone from that era, my Paul Stanley interview. There's some stuff from the early 80s that's gone. But a lot of stuff survived. Like, a lot of stuff survived, right? I didn't make backups of stuff in that era the way maybe I should have. But Hennessy made an on-air check of the Ray Lewis first ever night at the barn, and there's about 8 to 10 minutes of it that's there that I found on a trailer. Like, I ran around the house. No shit, Andy. I was banging pots and pans. I screaming at my wife, holding the tape up. It was like when Flynn found the Super Bowl tape. Like, right, Flynn, right. For 18 years, that tape was gone. Have you ever seen the Flynn Super Bowl videotape?
I have not, no.
Oh my God, dude, it is holy. It's up on YouTube. It's an hour of me holding the camera in the parade on the Humvee with Mike Flynn and Spencer Folau, with Trent Dilfer next to us and Kim Herring, Anthony Poindexter behind us, Brad Jackson mugging with Cornell. but nonetheless, Andy, that era, all of the tapes that we did at the barn, the ones that were produced by you or by Ray are impeccable. Impeccable sound. So for me to beat you up before we even come on the air as sort of the old line boss guy saying, make it sound good, dude. Don't come on my show with a crappy mic. I have heard the difference between your production skills and, let's say, others. And that would just about be everybody. Adam Dembeck would be an exception. His stuff, but he didn't do a lot of. By then, I was sort of out of the station, selling, you know, long gone era. I'm talking about the era after five. The production quality from 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in the latter era is abysmal. Abysmal. Stuff's unusable. It's just awful, right? So, and anything that came from spring training was a crapshoot as to whether, or the Super Bowl stuff, if somebody professional wasn't on the other end. So anyway, I digress, in the words of 105.7 Odyssey.
Well, thank you. And I've always prided myself on that, you know, and I think, you know, that was one of the main reasons why, you know, you did hire me back then, was to come down, and it was more than just lining up guests and, you know, keeping the show moving. It was the production all around the station, the commercials and the bumps and the dry liners and all the different things there. And then, of course, you know, going out to the Monday Night Live shows at the barn with the Ravens players and thousands of people, it seemed, you know, it was the huge shows there, and then just going on location, and then every day, you know, where ISD,
you were there the night the trophy came in. You were producing every picture of the trophy, and you and Edwin Mulitalo doing the fire dance. You literally produced. You were to my right hand side with the headset on, making sure that 20 years later, when I unearthed it, it doesn't sound like garbage. Yeah, it sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah. When he started doing that fire dance, I mean, that's pretty loud. You know, you gotta there's peaks to that. You know, you can't have the audio go distorted, so you have to make sure to be have your hand on the fader. Make sure you can pot it down at the appropriate time. But no, it was unbelievable. You know, we gave Rob Burnett a grass skirt. Remember, because we thought
dude, you're in all of these pictures, man. Like, you know, like it,
Ray Lewis, Rod Woodson was a good show. With Rod on the team.
Oh, man, you were there for that.
Yep.
Wow. You know, so Andy Mueller's here. I'm trying to find one of the pictures of the fire dance with Eddie Mulitalo, because I absolutely know you're in the back. And he came out and danced for us after the Super Bowl. That was part of, like, what he promised he would come back at, because he brought the ukulele. Were you in the ukulele once, too?
Yeah, the ukulele one was that. I think it was around the holidays.
Christmas, right? We sang Christmas songs with the ukulele. Oh, man. Andy Mueller, my dear friend, my lifer pal, 22 and a half years later, still hanging out. And life's good. Wife's still a doc. Everything's happy. You're still in the area, right? Still rocking out.
Everything's great. Can't ask for anything better. I'm blessed. Everything's going well. Family's healthy. Wife's doing great. I got a lot of nieces and nephews. They're all athletes, so I get to go to a lot of games around the area. It's fun times for me.
All right, really, brother. Is. Well, love you, appreciate you. Owe you two crab cakes or a beer at M3 or whatever. It sounds like this Tesla thing, we should put this together. And I don't mean the car. I mean the band, right?
Yeah, May 8th, a Sunday night. Yeah, they're the headliner then. So definitely on my docket for next year.
I'm going to find some old tapes and unearth them and some old pictures now that you've jogged my 30-year memory. And I feel awful that we haven't had a crab cake. So crab cake beer, you, me, Mona, Jen, fun, right? Masks, outside, good food, good conviviality, you know, beer, maybe. You drink beer still?
Oh, you bet I do. I make it too. I could always bring some that I make for you.
What are you drinking these days? You look like an IPA. You look hoppy to me.
Could be that this time of year, though, the Christmas beers. I do like some imperial stouts. You know, it's getting colder out, so they're.
Dude, I'm a stout guy. I got a gingerbread stout in the fridge.
Perfect.
There you go. Perfect for the holidays. Well, listen, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, your family. Get back up to the highway. Eat lots of good pie and cake and stuff. And, you know, enjoy the upstate New York thing. And we don't see each other often enough, but we should, man. And someday the Yankees will win again. All right. That's for you. Okay.
It's been a long
time. That's a chef's kiss for you, all right? Andy Mueller, geezing with me. There's a grease man term. Ooh, wheezing and geezing. Nah, you know. Dude, I was cleaning out the station before I let you go. And hold on, I took a picture of it, if I can hold it up on my phone. Because literally, my daughter-in-law did not know what it was. Like, she looked at it and said, "What is it?" And I took a picture of it, and if I can find it on my timeline, dude, I found a picture, and it's Steve Hennessy's handwriting on it, of a cart. That's a cart machine. I found two lost carts that had fallen behind a desk that had – what, dude, it's – you ready? And I should have sent it. I'm going to turn it sideways so if you really can see it. It says on it, Clada Pub. It is literally Steve Hennessy's handwriting. Mike Clark, if you're out there, I found the Clada Pub spot cart from 1999. So there you have it.
Wow.
We had cart machines when you showed up, right? We did.
We did. We ended up replacing them with the instant replay. And then, of course,
did you bulk a race?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. I wonder how much that shortened my life, you know, doing that. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, you had a bulky race the tapes. Yep, with the
you didn't have a pacemaker or anything weird.
No,
did you?
No, no, not back then. No.
You should do radio more often. Andy Mueller, when I get the Conan show, you're going to be the other guy.
Sure. Yeah. His name's Andy too, isn't it?
So you know why? Because Bachman's unavailable. Bachman won't be able to come get the crap. Dude, if I ever get the two of you together to break balls, it'll be crazy.
Andy, we got stories together, that's for sure. Yeah, the two of us. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Listen, and this is true, okay? You know Coachella and I are old boys,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mickey came on with me and in the middle of it begged me to do a roast, to make myself available to be roasted. That would I do that for charity? And I'm thinking, I do that every day of my life.
That's right.
Have you seen my Facebook? Andy Mueller, my one-time executive producer. And, dude, I should have you on more often. My wife's going to say, hey, dude, my face hurts from smiling so much. It has been the 30th anniversary. We were at Costas having a great time over there with Rob Santoni and John Martin. No offense. Didn't smile as much with them because, like, we don't have 30 years of, like, Nate Newton stories to tell and playing ping pong with Rick Riley at 5 o'clock in the morning and Lord knows whatever else happened with, you know, Dark Cats late into the night and White Ice and I-75 and holy hell, it was in Buckhead back in that era. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, wrapping up just in time. Convicted? Never convicted. We are BaltimorePositive.com.